sermonized type of message, go and do this, or repent. I think the looking at God through John's eyes, through what he wrote down. I've got to ask, why did he write this description? And what's the important thing? Why put it in the scripture? And then I got to thinking about my own family and something that we have experienced. Maybe you have as well. And you've got your own experiences and you get into descriptions. But I want you to taste it with us. You know what I'm saying? I want you to taste the dust in India. So I went into pretty full description. And what was in my mind here was our family multiple times has been up Waldo Lookout Road up to Sanger Saddle. The last mile is a little sketchy. Four-wheel drive recommended. But we've been up there at sunset. We've been up there when the sun, because of the angle of the earth, is showing a different angle, and it's not daylight like is here. But when you look up at a sunset in the mountain and you see that orange and red color, it just turns different. But you're in it there. The Maxfield Parish pictures that have that red painted around those tree trunks and pillars, and the people have a certain glow about them. We've been there. Do you want to go?
Yeah.
That's why I tell you. And I think that's why John gives this description. It's the same kind of thing, so you can taste it with him. You can feel it with him. You can be there with him. Because he had a privilege that not everybody gets to have. Revelation chapter 4, I would like to read the chapter in its entirety and then come back specifically in the first three verses. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me. Wait a minute. We got to stop there. Back up to chapter 1. I'm going to have fun with you this morning too. Hope you consider it fun. Verse 9. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, or like the sound of a trumpet, saying, write in a book what you see, send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. Having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the middle of the lampstands, one like a son of man. So it looked human to him. Clothed in a robe reaching his feet, girded across his breast with a golden girdle, and his head and his hair were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been caused to glow in a furnace. Burnished bronze, molten metal, you know the color. His voice like the sound of many waters, like the ocean. In his right hand he held seven stars. Out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Who is the only one that could be saying this? The Lord Jesus. I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things which you have seen. And he just started doing that. I saw this. And the things which are. I take that to be the things written to the churches. Common people with common problems in common churches. But they need to go through some changes. And the things which shall take place after these things. There's a future. And the rest of the book of Revelation from chapter 5 on is about that future. And then he says, as for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels or messengers of the seven churches. The seven lampstands are the seven churches. So back to chapter 4. Verse 1. I looked, and a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard like the sound of the trumpet. What voice are we talking about here? Jesus. Chapter 1 voice. And it is the Lord Jesus. Do you have a red letter Bible? Red letter edition? Where all the words of Jesus are in red? Does anybody have the next sentence in red? I wonder why. I wonder why. Because all evidence tells me this is Jesus speaking. Come up here. So he's in his place and being displaced by being translated somehow through that door. Come up here and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately I was in spirit, and behold, a throne standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. If it was just left at that, our imagination is going to get kind of dull. You know, it's like, okay, what's next? We imagine it in a human, very human setting, with a human person on a human throne, as elaborate as you want to make it in your mind. But it's reduced to that. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow, or your Bible may say halo, around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Bobby, do you have some color coming to mind? You that know these stones, you got some color coming to mind? And around the throne were 24 thrones. Upon those thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne proceeded flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst, or in the center, in the middle of the throne and around, it can say, around the throne, the four living creatures, all full of eyes in front and behind. I'll let your imagination go. He wants it to. The first creature was like a lion. The second creature like a calf. The third creature had a face like that of a man. The fourth creature was like a flying eagle. So eyes around, front and back. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was and who is to come." This is the beginning of our insight to the worship team in heaven. Speaking out truth, and the word is saying it. I don't know if it's singing it or not, but some of these things we've put to music. But their voices must have been like music even. But they were saying about him the description, holy, completely different than anything, times three. Is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne, face down on that turf, whatever that turf is. And will worship him who lives forever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created. How important is it for us to have chapter 4 prior to, what's God going to do in the future? I want to know the future. I want to know the end times. Let's get to it, John. Quit messing around. But he starts here. Why do you think he starts there?
Just to give us a minute impression of the holiness and the glory of God.
Okay, what else? Yes. Why does he start there?
To show how unpredictable and unknowable God is.
Ooh.
Like a cat, but with six wings, huh? And they're singing, huh? Like, who can know why that is?
Okay. Anybody else? Beth?
Well, it seems to me that this amazing, indescribable, unknowable in detail, our God, he's the centerpiece of this whole thing.
Good.
He's the star of the show, if you will.
Good. What else?
When he gave us the tabernacle here on the planet, you know, you enter his courts with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You know, so that's always a type of what goes on in heaven.
Good.
I think they show the power and the majesty of Jesus and how it's changed to John. He's no longer the person. John, no. He's God, and he's in his rightful place.
Amen. I like that a lot, Craig. To set out what's going to happen in the future without understanding the majesty of God, getting a glimpse, because I don't understand it, getting a glimpse of his glory, getting a glimpse of his authority, that he is the center, and I am not. Nor was John. John said, when I turned around and saw him, I fell as a dead man. But he put his right hand on me. Interesting, he didn't have to put down the seven stars that were in his right hand to do that. How's that work? You know, I don't know. It's just what John saw. And he's just relating what he saw, because God said, relate what you saw, what you see. Understand the authority of God, and in that authority there is nothing and there is no one that is going to change the pattern, either change God or what he's going to do. In this book, at the end of the book, you see this. Let the one who, and then he mentions several selfish sin type of things, continue doing it. Because God is not trying to just modify our behavior. God wants our attention, so we join right here and truly worship the only one that is worthy of that worship. Not just be a better person. It is look at him for who he is. And we get to look through somebody else's eyes. Now, I can go on with my description up on Sanger Lookout or Sanger Saddle, and it'd pull you in just a little bit more. But until you're there, you haven't really experienced it. I can go as deep as the Lord allows me to see what John saw and to experience. He says, in spirit. It was in some sort of a vision form, not in his flesh. Now, I want to look at that throne, and I want to look at the throne through the other descriptions in our Bible. And we're going to catch a bigger view, but I'm going to start right here in verse 3. He who was sitting on that throne was like, and that word like comes up so many times in these first few chapters, like jasper. But not just that, jasper and sardius. Okay, a little bit that I picked up. Jasper, an aggregate of microgranular quartz and or chalcedony. Chalcedony, chalcedony, I found all the pronunciations. And other mineral phases is an opaque. For those who don't know what that means, opaque means light does not go into it and penetrate it. It cannot be reflected out. You only see the outside. You cannot see into it. That's jasper. Jasper of antiquity. Oh, by the way, jasper is usually red and yellow, brown, sometimes green, and sometimes blue. Rarely blue. Jasper of age of antiquity was in many cases distinctly green. For it has often been compared to the emerald. And I thought that was interesting. And other green objects. Jasper is referred to in the High German epic poem written in 1200. And I can't pronounce a thing. Nibelungenlied or something like that. You can help me out. Thank you. It's described there as being clear and green. The jasper of the ancients probably included stones, which would now be classed as chalcedony, and the emerald-like jasper may have been akin to modern chrysoprase, which is opaque and green. Beautiful, yes. The Hebrew word may have designated a green jasper. Just a thought, though. He could have been seeing orange and red, but opaque. But he's like jasper and sardius. Sardius is different. Sardius, also known as carnelian. A translucent, what does translucent mean? Opaque, you can't see into it because the light can't penetrate it. Translucent, light goes into it, you can see into it. Translucent, hard, fine-grained variety of orange-red quartz. The one sitting on the throne was like jasper and sardius. He was opaque and translucent. I'm seeing color here. I'm seeing something that he had no other way to define it, but it's like this. And there was a rainbow or a halo around the throne like an emerald in appearance. An emerald. This next description. There was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Emerald, a variety of the mineral beryl, is translucent green. The shade of green can vary from classically green to yellow green and blue green. They are typically a vivid dark green. The rainbow, the Greek word iris, can mean rainbow and it can mean halo. Legitimately translated either way. So John doesn't designate except this. If it means rainbow, then it certainly was full of color. Bold, vibrant, translucent, like an emerald. And an emerald is something that your eye doesn't just pass over it too quickly. It grabs you. So, wow, look at the depth of that green. That is amazing. That's beautiful. So whatever John saw, if it was a rainbow as in color, it must have been an outstanding rainbow. And like an emerald that you see into it, translucent, just boldly says, look at this. Enjoy this moment, John. But if it means halo, like a rainbow is an arc shape, if it means halo, and it could, then it means specifically that that halo was a deep, dark green, like an emerald. Let your mind go. You know, just enjoy the moment here. I want this description. He who is sitting was like a jasper and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow or a halo around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Let's go back in the Old Testament to the book of Ezekiel. And I always like to say it's legal to use the table of contents. That's why it is put there. Ezekiel chapter 1. Verse 22. Ezekiel records what he saw. Just let your mind go to this place. Why would God reveal it like this? To show his majesty, to demonstrate his glory, to demonstrate his authority. Ezekiel 1:22. Some of the beings that were in heaven, over the head of the heads of the living beings, there was something like an expanse. like the awesome gleam of crystal or ice over their heads. Whoa! Not cold like ice, but clear like ice. Extended over their heads. Under their wings, the expanse of their wings were stretched out straight, one toward the other. Each one also had two wings covering his body, with one on either side and one side and the other. I also heard the sound of their wings like the sound of abundant waters as they went, like the voice of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, a sound of an army camp. Whenever they stood still, the wings dropped. There came a voice from above the expanse that was over their heads. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. Now, above the expanse that was over their heads, there was something resembling a throne. And the throne was like lapis lazuli, which is what color? An incredible blue. A blue that grabs you. You'll want to take a picture of it and tell your friends and neighbors. A throne.
Silver and other colors in it.
Of lapis lazuli. Excuse me. Like lapis lazuli in appearance, and on that which resembled a throne, high up, was a figure with the appearance of a man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upward, something like, here we are again, glowing metal that looked like fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his loins downward, I saw something like fire. And there was a radiance around him, as the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, like that, he says, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is what he's describing in this color, in this around that throne. And when I saw it, I fell on my face. And then heard the voice speaking to me. Look at chapter 8 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 8, the first four verses. And it came about in the sixth year, on the fifth day of the sixth month, as I was sitting in my house with the elders of Judah sitting with me, or before me, that the hand of the Lord fell upon me there. Then I looked, and behold, a likeness as the appearance of a man from his loins and downward. There was the appearance of fire. From his loins and upwards, the appearance of brightness, like the appearing of glowing metal. He stretched out the form of his hand and caught me by the lock of my head. And the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem. He'd been in Babylon. To the entrance of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the idol of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy, was located. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the appearance I saw when I was in the plain. It's like, there it is again. God is there. Let's go back to Exodus 24, please.
Mine says amber instead of metal.
Okay, amber, there's your yellow again.
Yellow, orange.
Exodus chapter 24, verse 9. Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu up the mountain, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. Now, in chapter 32, God tells Moses, no, you can't see my face. No man can see my face and live. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. So there is something of the eminence of God that was presented to these people, like Ezekiel and like John, that's different than seeing God in all his godness. Keep that in mind. It's going to be important when we come to the end of this little walk. They went up and they saw the God of Israel. Look at the description. Under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire. Just for the fun of it, I went to my Google computer this morning and just put in sapphire. And up come the images of sapphire, and I had a blue screen. And that vibrant blue of this translucent sapphire was there. And can you imagine? This is the pavement in front of the throne of lapis lazuli. And can you imagine a halo of rainbow colors, or a halo of absolute brilliant green, and the one on the throne is in this fiery color of the orange and the reds? That would get your attention. Isn't it cool that God designed color? Truly? I heard of an operation that was done not all that long ago of somebody that was colorblind, couldn't see color, and they, when they could, came out of the operation, they could see color, and they burst out crying. They couldn't control themselves. They said, the blue is so blue. What do you do with that, you know? Oh, God that allows us to see color. That's design. That is not an accident. And the color that we see is basically opaque compared to what we will see. We're seeing the little, we're seeing the outside, and we're seeing, wow, this is beautiful. This is amazing. Look at the different skin tones in this room. Wow, what beauty. Each one so different. And look, and look, and look deeper and deeper to see what God has created, because you ain't seen nothing yet. Enjoy this, but be ready. Be ready to go through something fabulous when you see him on his throne. A pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of... He didn't kill them, is what the next verse really says. Next place I'd like you to turn, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Here we go again. Only he doesn't describe it. Lofty and exalted, he establishes the territory. It is grandeur and it is authority. It is different than any other. Lofty and exalted, the train or the flowing part of his robe filling the temple, which turns out to be the glory of the Lord. Seraphim, whatever those were. Seraphim, plural, stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And please don't ask me why. I don't really get it. I can come up with an explanation, but I'm not convinced I'm right. Just accept it. Here's what he saw. And one called out to another over this expanse and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. It is literally the fullness of the whole earth is his glory. That changes things just a little bit. The glory of God to even be seen here. The fullness of the whole earth is his glory. Yet in another place, it does say the whole earth will be filled with his glory. The foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. And I said, uh-oh, I'm dead. That's a loose paraphrase. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. He doesn't describe color, but I don't think he needed to. He was describing something else, and that is the majesty and authority of the living God. 2 Corinthians 12, Paul is writing and talks about a man who 14 years ago, and many of us believe that was him. It's just his humble way of saying it without saying, hey, I went up to heaven. I know a man. Verse 2. In Christ, 14 years ago, and what, okay, a little context, just please understand, they had invited other people in to be apostles, and they were disregarding the apostle Paul and other true apostles. And he was trying to get their attention, saying, consider their authority. And he, over and over, in this book, 2 Corinthians, he reestablishes to this Corinthian people who God has set in authority, because these others were leading them off. That's why he says in verse 1, boasting is necessary. You guys are... I have to go there because you're a bunch of imbeciles. No, anyway. Though it is not profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in body, or I do not know, or out of body, I do not know, out of body experience, maybe, God knows. Such a man was caught up to the third heaven. First heaven, where the birds fly. Second heaven, where the majesty of the stars and constellations. And the third heaven, the throne room of God. Now, I know how a man, such a man, whether in body or apart from body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise. He doesn't describe it except what he heard. Heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. John and Ezekiel were allowed, and Moses allowed to say, write a little bit of what they saw, but then it stopped there, except for John, it went on. Authorities established, now here's what's going to happen in the future. Anyway, heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. Would you please go to 1 John chapter 3, just before the book of Revelation, by just a few pages. 1 John chapter 3, I want to look at our future with all of these pictures in mind. 1 John 3 verse 1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Do you know how 1 John starts? This is the message we have heard from him, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. In Ephesians 5:8, it said, we are children of light. In John chapter 12, verse 36, it said, believe in him so you can become sons of light. The light that we've been reading, the description of God himself, is quite creative and colorful and wonderful. It is something that John, I think, couldn't wait to talk about. We are children of God. Children of light, sons of light, and such we are. It is now. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. They hated the light. They loved the darkness rather than the light, John chapter 1. They didn't want their deeds to be exposed by the light. They stayed in the darkness saying that they were in the light. And they were in full self-deception. In Ephesians 5, don't do what they did. Don't do what you used to do. Rather, expose it. Let the light, the truth of God, expose it. We are children of God now. I wonder how the beings that are in heaven that your eyeballs can't see yet see us. Do they see a different sort of emanence of God coming out from us? Because we belong to him now. We have been born into him. I wonder. And I wonder why it is that the world doesn't know that the world hates us. Or why. It just does. Is there something that they can't perceive and pick up on that they see of God coming out of us somehow? I don't know. I'm just tossing questions. And I don't want to get too weird about this, but I am a child of this God that we're talking about here. Let's go on. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. It's not for later. You are currently. And it has not yet appeared what we shall be like in the future. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him just as he is. I get to see these descriptions in the future. I get to bask in these descriptions in the future. I'm part of it now, but in the future it's going to have its fullness. 1 Corinthians 13, at that time we will know just as we are known now by him. Every molecule known by God. It's going to be different then. We will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself even as he is pure. Go to Revelation 22, please. Very end of the book. Our future. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal. There's the descriptions coming again. Coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The throne, is it the lapis lazuli looking throne on a sapphire pavement? Is this a temporary throne here on earth ruling from Jerusalem? I saw a river clear as crystal coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. And on either side of the river was the tree of life. Think about that. I hope you've thought about that. If you haven't, think about it now. One tree on both sides of the river. One God and two persons on the one throne. God and the Lamb. Huh. And he prayed in John 17 that we might be one just like he is one with the Father. This oneness. Anyway, some fun that our mind can have. And that tree on each side of the river. That looks like two trees to me, but it's different somehow. Bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his bondservants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. His name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall no longer be any night. And they shall not have the need of light or of a lamp or of the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them. God is light. And they shall reign forever and ever. It gets deeper and deeper. It gets higher and higher to me. And before we talk about, I'm curious about what God's going to do in the future, let's look at him. Let's look at this brief description, but the brevity of it is also loaded. Its impact is intentional. I saw a door open up in the heavens, and the voice that spoke to me said, come up here. He was introduced into the throne room of God. Wow. That voice that I heard said, come up higher. Saw the one on the throne like jasper and sardius, and a halo or rainbow around the throne like an emerald. And then started looking around the 24 elders and these angelic beings, all of them pointing to, looking to, and bowing before the majesty and the authority of the living God. I have to say, wow. And I don't have much else to say. Wow. I don't think John was getting carried away in his imagination, because God said, write what you have seen. Right. What thoughts are in your mind? Interaction? Questions? Wow.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
I think it's incentive. Well, I don't want to stay here forever. What else? Can you...
I was just wondering if I could get Fire Mountain to do a recreation and figure out Bert Dallow from the program.
Well, you know the boss. Talk to him.
Yeah.
Good. Somebody else. Yes.
Do you think it's what we see when we go to heaven after we die, or just when the rapture happens?
I don't know. I have to wait and see. What do I think? What John saw must be really there and like this. And we get to be in that with him someday. See him face to face is what 1 Corinthians 13 says. And we'll be like him because we'll see him as he is. We have little ideas of what God is like. And we have boring ideas of what heaven is like. I don't think it's going to be boring whatsoever. Full of all that God has given us a little glimpse of here. I think that's pretty cool. So, sister, that's all I can say to that question. Good question, though. Yes?
I can't think of the exact scripture. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has given.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah... Yeah, I can't recall it. Yes, Linda.
You know, we have different kinds of trees in Wisconsin than you have here and in California. And I think I love coming here. I love seeing the beautiful, big, huge trees. And I think it's the banyan tree in California that grows, and it grows the branches out, and then it drops like a vine down, and it becomes another trunk. Mm-hmm. So you have this tree growing, and it's one single tree, and it can spread. And I've thought about that when I've thought about the tree of life, how it can be on both sides of
nice.
The
river. Nice. We saw some wonderful ones in Hawaii in February.
Yeah.
Amazing, in fact. Good, good. I like that insight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that word come, and it's used many times, you know, and from the very start, when he gave that name, El Shaddai, God Almighty, that picture is the breasted God. Come lay your head on my breast. In love. So, you know, and then he's pictured as the good shepherd, you know. Come unto me, you know, and then to look at this and see this view of his holiness and his almightiness, you know, it's just incredible. I mean, it just really makes you see that there's no way to have a concept that says he has a little child.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Thank you. One more little reminder as a conclusion, and then we've got a couple of songs that just, it seems like, emanate out of this, is that the tribes of the earth have made gods out of jasper. You know what I'm saying? And other stones, metal, wood, etc. That verse does not say our God is jasper. But let me tell you, it was like this. Like jasper and sardius. The throne like lapis lazuli. The pavement in front of it like, what was that one?
Sapphire.
You know, like. He had to relate it to something we know. But our God is very, very different. That's where the word holy comes in. Different than all else. I look forward to the future. But I know he gave this to us in the Word to have right now and to ponder, to think about it, to rest in it, to love it, and to love him.